Welcome to Conversations with the Unseen. My name is Andy.
And my name is Laura. And in December 2019, we began an amazing and completely unexpected journey conversing with beings from the unseen world, which has totally transformed our lives.
And here we are, after hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations, doing what our non-physical friends have been encouraging us to do, sharing their message with others who may be interested.
So let's dive in.
Dear friends.
Hello, Mexicans. Good to be talking with you.
It is good to be with you.
So, there was much in what you said in our last conversation. Much. So many questions. And I guess really something that stood out for me is you were talking about the ego and the inner being. And I know from conversations that I have had with people that when people think of the word ego, they have a particular definition. Somebody perhaps who is really arrogant or brash, really full of themselves. And I just wonder if you could share with us your perspective on what you mean when you use the word ego.
It is a source of amusement for us, the way that words are interpreted in so many different ways. And here we have an example. We use the word ego in this context as representing the human self, the idea of this body and this human mind that are having a shared experience of being in the world of form, or so it seems. And so you might think of the ego as being the smaller and less aware part of yourself. There is, of course, judgment attached to the word ego, as you point out, mm-hmm. And it is not used in that way by us. It is useful shorthand for the human self that believes it is separate and believes that there is something to fear.
You have likened it many times to the metaphor of a three-year-old, which for me has been really, really useful. That part of me that wants to be in charge and yet is really scared and may appear confident on the outside but really has no idea.
And this is a useful way to understand the nature of the ego. Very unaware and believing itself to be far more capable than it actually is. And also wanting to be in control when it is patently incapable of being in control.
And yet it gets so outraged and pissed off and hurt and compares. I mean, there are so many flavors of egos, much more than I could mention here.
Yes, and of course, the ego is not being willfully difficult. It is not trying to be disruptive, although that is often the impact that it has. It is programmed to work in a particular way, and the beliefs that the ego holds are the cause of its behavior. It is fearful because it does not understand, and it has a very particular role in the human experience which the non-physical self is having. And we would liken this to the opposing team in a game of sport, where if only one team showed up for the game, it would be very uninteresting, and it would be very obvious that the team that showed up was going to win the game, and there would be no excitement or interest in that. And it is the same for the inner being that chooses to have the experience of apparently being in the world of form, apparently being in a body, to experience the contrast. And the ego has this really vital role as the opposing sports team. The ego offers resistance, and this helps the inner being to grow, to know itself better, and to have a more rewarding experience as the inner being goes on this journey into the world of form.
And again, Mexicans, this could just seem like a nice kind of theoretical fantasy, because as seen from the ego's perspective, it believes that if the effects were just a particular way, then it would be happy. And the idea of an opposing team, the game doesn't feel so fun for the ego often.
The ego is offering contrast, and therefore, as you understand more about the inner being and understand it to be aligned with the source, being an expression of Great Spirit, coming from love, being an expression of love, the ego is experienced as the opposite of each of those characteristics. So it believes itself to be separate and alone in what appears to be a very frightening world. And so it is aligned with fear, and fear is not actually a thing. Fear is just the absence of love, in the same way that darkness is not a thing. It is the absence of light. And so, as the ego makes its journey through life, having the fears and anxieties and the enjoyment that it has. It is becoming more aware that its strategy, its approach to life does not bring it the joy that it hoped it would. As it looks to the outside world, it looks to be more wealthy, it looks to have other people behave in particular ways that are pleasing to it, and then it believes that this can make it happy and bring it peace. And gradually, over time, the ego realizes that nothing on the outside can bring it peace, because however seemingly perfect the outside is, there is still a sense of wanting more.
You know, I love what you're saying. I can really connect with the idea of many times in my life feeling really alone and separate and powerless. And many times I listened to and acted on the ego, sometimes ignoring that quiet whisper of another awareness within me, sometimes being completely oblivious to that, but how it just never worked out. And I guess that was for me part of the whole journey of exploration, because I didn't know that there was another way to live, but I felt certain that there must be something else. Because the question that I kept coming back to is, what is the point? What is the point of all of this?
And this is a question that many ask. There is the well-known concept of a midlife crisis, generally attributed to beings in male bodies, where the person realizes that they have been striving for something, and as they reach the goals they had for themselves, the realization is that there isn't the fulfillment there that they were looking for. And so often people will give up their well-paid jobs and pursue an interest that is more aligned with their heart and their passions, even though on the face of it, it may appear to be a move that takes them away from material success. Not necessarily, but sometimes. And as people pursue a new direction in their life that is aligned with their heart's desires, they find that they can be much happier, even if they are not generating the same level of income as they were.
And yet Mexicans, you know, so then there can be a belief held by many that I can do what I love and not have money, or I can focus on the money. And yet there have been many times that we've had conversations and you have spoken to me around it's possible to have both. So you are not making money a bad thing. You're not saying that money is a bad thing, as I'm hearing you.
No. The important consideration is what your motivation is. So if you are making money the primary objective, then the activity will be devoid of passion, potentially. Whereas if you engage with your passion and allow money to come, then it can do. And the time spent pursuing that passion will not seem like work.
And allowing money to come, I feel, is a different episode all in its own, because that is a big topic for many. But returning to something you said earlier, you talked about the ego being programmed to work in a particular way. What do you mean by that?
The ego is really just a set of programs, a set of beliefs, stories that it believes to be true. And these programs are either brought in at birth genetically, or they are installed culturally by family values, education, media, and so on. And so the ego is this set of beliefs, stories, and this determines how it behaves. And we would say that it is possible for the ego to let go of some of those programs or to hold new beliefs. And for many, they will have had this experience where they used to believe one thing and now they believe something else. Either through conscious choice or through life experience. The beliefs, the stories, the programs play out in the physical dimension. So the world of form is like a giant mirror. And each person is having their experience of being in form, apparently, and what they believe to be true about the world of form is reflected back to them. You can imagine being at the cinema and there is a projector and there is a screen, and the screen is the movie playing out. And you can think of that as the world of form. And the projector is the source of this movie, this experience. And you can think of that as being the person, the human self. And if the movie is not to the person's liking, they would not go and start trying to change the movie on the screen. They would go up to the projection room and change the movie at the projector.
I'm chuckling, Mexicans, because that is another massive topic that we have had so many conversations about. And so I'm wondering, just in this conversation, if we can go back to, you talked about programs being either genetic or cultural. Genetic, people coming in at birth. What do you mean by genetic? You mean things we inherited from parents? Can you talk more about genetic, please? Genetically, please.
Yes, the family patterns, as you look at your parents, as each person looks at their parents, you can see traits, qualities, both physical and non-physical, character traits, characteristics, personality traits. Often you can look at a child and you can see elements of each parent in their being, their makeup. And so, yes, there can be qualities, and these can be energies, insecurities that can be brought into the world from the parents, from their history, and from what happens during the pregnancy. Will all have an impact on how this new person shows up in the world of form. And often, and this may be a new concept for some, this is not the first time that this being has shown up in the world of form. And we would say, from our perspective, that events in previous visits to the physical dimension can also affect the programming of the person.
Because you talked about the inner being creating or choosing the programs.
Yes, the inner being will set the experience up in very particular ways, and the inner being will be fascinated to experience what happens. There is free will, and that means that the human self gets to choose how to respond to the events in its life. And this will play out. The inner being is experiencing the world of form. It has no preference for it to be any particular way. And yet it is always there, offering to assist, support, help, guide. Once the ego is open to connecting with that non-physical self. And that essentially is our invitation, our message is that of turning towards the inner being, focusing on what is real and true, not what the senses show, the human mind, but the greater picture of the non-physical. This human self is a tiny, tiny representation, a tiny part of who you really are.
Mm. I love that, and a couple of things occur to me. Firstly, around when we began to talk with you, how you had said about putting the ego out to pasture. And I thought that would be a one-time event. And I have come to see that it is a moment-by-moment choice to see where we are aligning with. And I also remember saying to you, can you let me know when I'm coming from ego, so that I can become more aware? And you being amused because you said you did not want me to be discouraged. And so for me, there's been a real journey around the ego. And I know this is a topic we will return to many times. And you've also talked about the inner being. I love how you've begun to talk about the inner being. And perhaps in the next episode, that's something that we can explore a little further. But I wonder if in this moment there is anything that you would like to say as we draw to a close.
Yes, our closing message would be this. If If you are feeling in some way uncomfortable, either emotionally or physically, this will be due to aligning with the ego. And if you are feeling peaceful, even blissful, then this will be a moment when you are aligned with who you really are, your non-physical self. And there is, you have used the analogy of a seesaw, where sometimes the seesaw is balancing more one way and then other times the other way. And the experience of being in human form is very much like a seesaw, where sometimes the ego is wanting to be in control and other times the ego is more relaxed and you are more connected with that part of you that is eternal and loving. And so perhaps the invitation we would wish to make to those listening would be to have some awareness in any moment of how you are feeling and to identify that as either alignment with the human self, the ego, or the infinite self, the inner being.
Wonderful, Mexicans, thank you.
And we send you our love.
Most gratefully received. Until next time.
Until next time.
You've been listening to Conversations with the Unseen.
If you'd like to know when there's a new conversation available, then remember to subscribe and also to share it with others.
If you'd like to have a written transcript of each conversation, then you'll find this on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
And if you have a question you'd like us to ask on your behalf, or if you would like to join the mailing list, then you can also do that on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
Until next time.